Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders. Listen as they identify factors that drive innovation and measure significant business results. Be inspired and influenced by their insights and outcomes. Hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC.
Well, welcome to Significant Business Results Radio. I'm your host, Fran McNeil, and good morning. Joining me in the studio this morning is Rami Gellis, and she is joining us from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Rami, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Fran. Thank you so much for having me. I'm well. How about yourself?
Just fine, thanks. Very exciting to have you in the studio. I wanted to share with our listening audience just some brief highlights of your resume, and then we're going to jump right into our conversation. One of the pluses of this 6:30 in the morning interview is that we're literally at the top of the morning in a wonderful, wonderful summer. So Dr. Rami Gellis has over 20 years of experience in human resources, management, consulting, coaching, and training globally. And she coaches senior leaders from top-tier international organizations, high-potential employees, and teams. And your company has a global focus, so I am going to let you share your information about your company, which is Global Training Solutions, LLC. So welcome to the show.
Thank you again, Fran.
Thank you. So, Rami, I often start the show by asking folks, what's the significant story behind them becoming an entrepreneur? And you and I had a chance before the show started to just kind of exchange some ideas, and I'm hoping that you'll share with the audience your story.
Oh, absolutely. And there was a path that I found, and I think like many entrepreneurs, that it happened unexpectedly. So after undergrad, I was at New York University, and I had worked on Wall Street and done internships, and I walked down to Wall Street, and 4 days before a market crashed, I started on Wall Street, and I know that I found like really it was just overwhelming, and through that, I found I was in a management training program, which is now a part of Prudential Financial, and through that, I really found I loved the business aspect, but I really was fascinated by the organizational dynamics and looking at something that was completely out of sync and chaotic, and how do you both look from a strategic standpoint as well as looking at people's performance and people's well-being, being able to organize that in a productive process and manner and strategy to get back on track. And that's really how I started to think. I really was really jazzed by that world of organizational development and training over the market per se. And my mentor, I had a mentor, and she said, why don't you try some employment training? So really I did, with her help and her encouragement, I did a 180 change. I worked for Citibank in their economic development department. I was working with economically disadvantaged youth and adults, and we did programs to really help people get good, solid foundational skills that could be marketable and go to college. I worked there for a couple years, and I've had about 100 people on my kids on my caseload, and I had a 98% success rate of graduation, getting a job and or going to college. And I found that it was very rewarding, but when we looked out at the studies thereafter, and this program had been around for about 15 years, because there wasn't support afterwards, you just seen the success rate drop so quickly, and I didn't know if I could have an impact on that piece of it. And I started contracting. I really found that I wanted to be able to make an impact in people's careers, that I could see some more sustainable results, and started contracting. Went back to school during graduate school, throughout my graduate school, in survey development, developing leadership programs for large organizations, including, you know, the AT&T and a lot of engineering firms, and really found it gave me a lot of flexibility to look at different cultures and look at different people, that I was able to continue doing that throughout my career. I just found that was a much more a good fit for me, as opposed to being in the organization. And as a consultant, you really need to bring in a strong objective view so that you can help get those strategies and goals. And that's something that, as a consultant, that's what I've always done.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of what a fascinating story, 4 days before the crash, I mean, I imagine that you saw people just being devastated, like, what?
Yes.
And so an objective view and being a consultant, what, you know, you mentioned your schooling. We're both now in the Philadelphia area. And you started your high schooling in Philadelphia as well. But your business is Global Training Solutions. How did you get that international, global aspect?
Oh, it's a great question. I think it goes back, I said, kind of in a nutshell. I was brought up in Quaker schools. I'm not a Quaker, but my parents felt that where we lived was very, I think, limited in scope of diversity and culture. So they sent me, which was a very integrated, and still is today, they tend to be pretty integrated schools. So cultural differences, cultural similarities were really a fabric and a value of the educational system. So, you know, when different cultures, different religions, different races, that was part of the dialogue every day in my life growing up. And I think, like, as anyone's foundation, that became the norm for me. And when I went to public schools, I know I felt like I was on the outside because I was comfortable integrating and talking to everybody. And that was, I saw that was very different. So it really always, I think from a very young age, it was instilled in me the importance and the beauty of understanding cultures. And I was always interested from there in travel and learning and seeing different cultures. And I thought, I really want this to be a formal piece of my career, as well as some, you know, where you say, like back in Philly, you don't have to leave the U.S. to see different cultures. Mm-hmm. I have had the opportunity, I was going to say, in early on when I was contracting with, which is now part of Aon, starting a program as an IO psychologist. We were behavioral interviewers, so we were conducting survey developments. We were creating 360s. We were part of leadership development programs that were using behavioral models and looking at behavioral checklists. And I was asked to help start a branch in California because HP was a client. We started in the sales organization doing both leadership development programs, change management, and one-on-one executive coaching. On site, they were more like assessment centers. And through that, I was asked to start and pilot their program in the factory, to open up the factory, and I piloted that in Tokyo, Japan. So really, luckily I had that boot camp training from soup to nuts to I had the whole project, and from, you know, from developing the programs to the checklist to hiring and training the consultants to the administrative and the 360, the assessments, and certainly working with the client to making sure we were meeting the goals of the factory. Because you could have many companies, you have the sales organization, almost seems like a separate company. When you have the factory, a very different culture. And then on top of it, you have a group of Japanese who are very collective in nature, where as the U.S. culture, we tend to be very individualistic. So I always say, when, you know, you would go in and work with the top leaders in rolling this out, and they would say yes, they understood, or they, you know, hi is yes, it means I've acknowledged you, not that I'm going to do that. So really, I think it's a different way of looking at it, but knowing those nuances and cultures, or how to address somebody, or even to hold a business card, I saw that, you know, making sure that those types of extremely important details were going to be key to our success in rolling out that program. And as we speak today, I was going to say the tenants or the core of those programs are still involved worldwide at HP through Aon. So that's certainly something that I'm very proud of and very glad, because that's helped, and that's, you know, where I got my start in really being able to work globally with clients. And we worked in the Americas as well as in Western Europe.
So definitely international experience. How many languages do you speak?
I think I am fluent in U.S. English and in German, and I would say I'm a beginner in Spanish as well.
And you know, we had talked earlier offline about the power of languages, and when you learn a language, it puts you in a situation of being a beginner. And how does that kind of translate to communication in general? And some of the work that you do as a coach and consultant?
It's a great question, because the literal, my first year when I was working in Germany, and I was mostly in Frankfurt, but I worked in Frankfurt and Luxembourg and Austria and Switzerland and in the German-speaking parts of Switzerland. And language, the first year I was there, I would say it was really tough. I did not know the language when I went over. And I was, you know, it really took a lot of practice, and I think I always thought, like, applying my own practice of preparing yourself, practicing and editing it and revamping it, because it really, once I became more confident to try, make mistakes, get feedback, I saw, A, people were very, very helpful and very receptive that I was making an effort. Particularly when you come from an Anglo-speaking country and the U.S., they assume we can't speak German, you know, and I think we do have a very high failure rate when we go abroad, because we want everybody to be like us and we expect them to be just like us and mold to us. But when you speak a language, you get another insight into their culture. You also, it's because it's a structure, you also see the basis many times of why their business strategies are the way, how they form. German's a very literal language, so it seems the culture and the strategies and their statements when you interact, it's very literal. It's not, we use description and we use adjectives and adverbs, and theirs is very cut and dry. So it really gives you insight. So I, as a, you know, as a way to look at culture and how to get along with people, whether you're in Germany, whether you're in Tokyo, or whether you're in the U.S. with different backgrounds, of sometimes why and how they speak, how they conduct themselves is so ingrained in them. And it really opened up a whole world for me to understand my clients and also, I think, be more effective as a consultant and coach.
You had mentioned the concept of a third eye, and I was wondering if you could share that as well.
Yes. I mean, one of the reasons I became, you know, really wanted to be, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. And I don't know if that was an easy decision, that I was not going to be someone to work in just a large organization. I grew up where more of my family was more entrepreneurs or business, retail businesses or professional businesses. So I knew that was more going to be for me, but that was always a hard decision because I thought the way to go was big corporations. New York University, certainly you're in the heart of, you know, the most profitable city in the world. And so it was a real hard decision, but I really found that as a consultant, and what I really enjoy is learning about a culture, being seamless in the culture, but maintaining the third eye to be objective. So I'm not getting caught up in the weeds and the everyday, the battles, the power struggles. It's much easier to be objective. And as a consultant, I always feel that's an advantage I bring to the table. And you really have another perspective when you can come in and give them another point of view or other points of view to be more effective in their performance, in their interactions. And again, it's not that they always have to choose what you tell them, but I love to give people some options about what would be best for them. And certainly guidance or where, you know, from my vantage point or from, you know, different case studies and different other results of organizations, what might be more productive. But ultimately that it's keeping a distance, a little bit of an arm's distance in order to be more effective as a consultant. And I just find that something that is really fascinating for me to see cultures and their environment and their and how they're structured from that.
Right. So when you do your work and you've now had an opportunity literally to travel around the world and work with so many people, when you reflect back, what's a significant impact that you've made with an individual or an organization that you're able to share with us today? Just give us a better insight on what you do and how it makes a difference for people.
Yeah, and I think that's it. Taking the experience that I have had, I said, with different cultures. Back here, I have had a client that she had worked for a B2B bank, a boutique bank that's based here in Philly, and they're national. And when she was offered executive coaching, she was an EVP, an executive vice president. She has a master's degree, an MBA. She's a lawyer, has had work before for larger banks like your Wells Fargo. She was also at Citi in her career and sort of was, you know, went to the executive coaching with me. And she was offered a 9-month program. I typically work in 3, 6, 9, and 12 month increments when it's one-on-one. And she was very skeptical. She just thought this was going to be, it was on her development plan and she could check the box and that was it. So when we first meet, I use a recipe as my model, break it down into three parts of we revisit, so that's part of the assessment. We realign, so we're creating the plan and the action plan, which I break down into ingredients, and we monitor process as well as outcome, sort of the goal. And then to realize your results, and we're adjusting that throughout those, for her, the 9 months. So I think she found through going through this revisit or assessment process, we used some development tools. We had a 360 with her. We used a Myers-Briggs type indicator, and we used Hogan assessments. So some programs, again, I'll do, they want one instrument, some people want five. But I use it as a way, it's a point of data to get more insight about your own assessment. So really, I think the responsibility and the accountability goes on the client that I'll guide them through being able to break down what they've done using behavioral models. So I do as an industrial psychologist, I do use a behavioral model through the STAR methodology, which the STAR methodology stands for situation, task, actions, and results. So it gives people some structure to be able to share their accomplishments in a very pointed manner, because the focus is on the impact and the results, not just describing what you did. So you want to be very specific in one sharing one example or situation, the task associated with the actions you and or others have taken to get that result. And I think those stories make it very rich. So this woman who really was very skeptical about the idea found a lot of, I almost think, insight but power in what her career is, how much she's done, and her value add, or we would say our value proposition through these STAR stories and through this assessment process and the assessments. She really found that we really ended up doing succession planning with her, and she decided that she wanted to be a fellow. And today she sits at University of Pennsylvania, and she's a fellow, and she's also able to pursue some of her other interests in volunteering and doing more social activities, as well as most recently in the last 2 years, she started to do consulting, you know, from her area of expertise from a banker. So someone that I just think, you know, her realization or her goal, it keeps unfolding. And, you know, where certainly as an academic, the benefits are wonderful, but certainly being a banker, she knew her salary would be different. But now she's been able to build in this consulting element, and it's serving her well financially too. So I think, very pleasantly surprised of the results people can achieve that you might not even, she just thought she'd go into academia, but how that's unfolded and that continued development. So now we do follow-up meetings on a quarterly basis just to check in. Mm. And it's really wonderful to see how people achieve that, you know, they get a clearer career focus to achieve their individual team and organizational results, and now she has her own organization.
That is really, really powerful. I mean, it must be so rewarding to be able to help individuals, as you say, and organizations do more than move the needle, get personal insight, get team insight, and then act on those ahas and results.
Yeah.
What's a favorite quote that motivates you as a leader?
It's pretty simple. I said, it's from Plato's Socrates, and it's know thyself. I do believe very firmly in the assessment piece of the model, that of the recipe or the revisit. I believe and I find that clients, if they really dig down and do that assessment piece early on from the surveys, from their own assessment using the behavioral methodology of the STAR, I find that it is key that they are, I always say you want to be grounded in what you have to offer as a professional. That might include what you do hobbies. It might include what you do volunteering. You know, I think it's incorporating some of those other parts of yourself, whether it's family or personal, but how do we phrase it in a way that keeps us in the professional so we are also not tipping the scale on some of the categories we don't want to share when we're marketing ourselves? I would say, so I find that is really, that know thyself is really core to be, keep stirring, if I may, I was going to say, learning more about yourself in order to be more effective in managing your career and certainly managing and working and leading others.
Wow. So, Rami, the time has just flown by. 25-minute interview and conversation. You know, I always kind of turn around and go, but wait a minute. Wasn't that the 5 minutes? But as we wrap up, clearly you have worked with so many people. What advice would you share to help others really, you know, discover what's significant about them and to live a more fuller professional or personal life?
It's interesting. I was on a panel earlier this week for the Career Wardrobe that I do volunteer work for, and we had very similar women in leadership and all stages of their careers. The one thing I could say, I'm pragmatic. So I definitely believe you should be very clear about your dreams, what you'd like to do. I also, because I always say, you know, the question of, well, why do you want this job, you know, or why do you want to consult? Most of us need to work, want to work. So I always think, how do you make sure that you are very clear when you are looking for contracts or you're looking to start the business? Know your mission, know your motivations. Also, be very clear on the metrics about what your ROI, your return on investment is going to be. Be very firm on your price points, because that is something you need to look at. Is that going to work for me? And that particularly as a consultant or an entrepreneur, that does not happen immediately. So you need to give yourself, whether it be 6 months, a year, 2 years, depending on your business, that you also want to be very realistic about your numbers. I mean, as an IO psychologist, we're grounded in numbers and statistics. I came from Wall Street. Mm-hmm. So that piece of it was you can't wing it. And I think my advice is don't underestimate that, how important that piece and understanding that is. It doesn't mean you have to be your accountant, but you need to understand what that looks like, those books.
Wow. Wow. Well, excellent. This has been very stimulating. I love the morning interviews because I go forth in the day totally charged up. And folks are like, oh, my goodness, what coffee did you drink? And I'm like, no, I had this wonderful conversation. And I just see the world. I see the brightness of the world. And so now I literally have had the opportunity in connecting with you to see globally. And I thank you and appreciate the energy that you're sharing.
I thank you for having me, and thank you for making me feel so at home. So thank you.
Great. Well, I want to let our listening audience know how they can get in touch with you. So if you'll share your website.
Yes. It's it's globaltrainingsolutions.biz.
Globaltrainingsolutions.biz,
yes.
Great, excellent. Okay, good. Well, thank you, Rami. And I am, again, going to let our listening audience know that our guest today was Rami Gelis, PhD, of Global Training Solutions, LLC. And you can find her on the web at www.globaltrainingsolutions.biz. So, Rami, have a great day, and I look forward to running into you at different Philadelphia events. I'm often on Spring Garden Street, so I know exactly where Career Wardrobe is. It's a wonderful, wonderful organization, and they do great things for people. Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Have a great day.
Great. You too. Thank you again. I look
Thank
forward to see
again.
You soon. Bye-bye.
Great. Thank you. And folks, there you have it. Significant stories from significant entrepreneurs. Join us as we continue to learn from the entrepreneurial journey.
Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders, hosted by Fran McNeil, president of Significant Business Results, LLC. Follow Significant Business Results Radio on blogtalkradio.com/significantbusinessresults.